Hello everyone, welcome. Today is Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. Ziller, wow, welcome back. How are you? You are number one today. Welcome, welcome. And I hope everyone is having a good day today. I am not sure why. Not sure what's going on over there, but my camera. Camera just doesn't want to work. Hey, Frankie, how are you? Hello, hello. You are doing well today, Frankie. You are number two. And on that note, I am going to get started here and let everyone else just trickle in. So let me stop the music. And let's see. Trying to get these cameras, but I'm pushing the wrong buttons here. Okay, my cameras just are not working today. Okay, so today I want to talk about beautiful morning with no tomorrow. What do I mean by that? What would happen if tomorrow never came, but everyone had one last wonderful day? I want to stress that, one last wonderful day. Would the world be perfect for at least one day? So if everyone knew, if everyone had heads up, wherever you were in the world, this would be your last 24 hours. And everyone has the opportunity to have a wonderful day, and everyone did. Would the world be a perfect place just for one day? Would everyone get along? Would everyone, you know, be nice to each other? Would everyone put away any hatreds and animosities? You know, would all the animals in the world kumbaya together, and, you know, the tigers are not going after the deer or whatever, you know, what would happen if we just had one wonderful day? Hey, Mr. B, you know, so, is that even a possibility? You know, is it possible to have for everyone all across the entire globe to have a wonderful day, a perfect day? And would it take something like knowing that your last days on earth were just around the corner? You know, that your last day on earth, I'm not even going to say around the corner. Like I said, these were your last 24 hours. Your last 24 hours. What would happen? What would everyone do? you know, would everyone lose their mind and say, oh my God, you know, people may think is end of days, whatever. But whatever you thought, you knew for a fact that this was the world's last 24 hours. Everyone was going to be gone. Everyone was going to die. Everything on earth, every living thing on earth was going to be gone. Do you appreciate those flowers that you walk by every day and you never paid attention to? Do you appreciate that view that you saw every day you went to walk your dog or, you know, driving to work? Do you say hello to that neighbor, finally say hello, as opposed to mumbling? Oh, hi, how are you? Whatever. You know, what would happen? So those are my questions. And I would like to know what you guys think. Mr. Bean says, that's deep. Last 24 sounds like you are writing a song, Blue. Hey, you know, I do play the guitar. I don't write songs, but, you know, I do. Imagine is one of my favorite songs. And Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World is also one of my favorite songs to play. But, you know, what do you do? How do you, you know, would the world just for one day, just for that last day on earth, you know, Putin's not bombing anyone. President Xi over in China isn't trying to plot on, you know, with Taiwan. You know, I mean, everything is just perfect because everyone is having a wonderful day and it's the last 24 hours. So Ziller, welcome back. You have the mic.
You know, that's, I agree with Mr. B. This is a difficult topic, and I got good job on picking it too. And I can't wait to see where it goes, but, I can't see it as, I hope everybody sees it as, you know, see those flowers and stuff, you know, but I can't see it as every single person taking time and just enjoying those 24 hours. Me, I would probably freak out. I wouldn't enjoy it one bit. I'd be, it'd just be terrible for me.
Okay, but while you're freaking out, you would also be missing out. You would be missing out on making your last 24 hours, you know, mean something. I mean, yeah, I would freak out too. But don't you think that at some point when you really realize that this is your last 24 hours, you don't want to wait until the last 10 minutes to, oh shit, you know, I need to go do this, or I need to go say this to this person, whatever. You know, let me put it like this. And welcome, Power Girl. Let me put it like this. What if everyone knew for a fact that on September 1st, 2022 would be the last day on earth for everyone? Yes, you have those people who don't believe it. You have those people who would. But when everyone really realized that September 1st, 2022 would be your last day, and on that day, everyone is told everyone's going to have a perfect day. Everyone's going to have just a perfect day. And everyone realized that on September 1st was going to be your last day. I can understand freaking out up to that point, but would you still take advantage of that last day?
Like I said, I really can't, to tell you the truth. You know, okay. Like I told you, I'm stuck in the house. Literally, you know, I've told you this many times. Stuck in the house, have seizures all the time. I've told you some of these things, I should be already dead with one of these, couple of these seizures. So I've already faced the fact that, you know, I'm not worried about death anyways, but, you know, this is one of those things that I wouldn't mind the 24-hour thing. I want the same thing as you saw it, is everybody to be happy with each other, but the thing of everybody in the whole entire world getting together as everybody appreciating each other, that's like a lottery thing. It's so hard to do.
But you know, you bring up an interesting point, Ziller, because it may be hard to think or imagine that. It may be hard to imagine of everyone in the world not being nasty toward each other and putting away animosity and what have you. But it's real easy to think about everyone in the world being at each other's throats. It's easier to think of us living in a society where we're at each other's throats, as opposed to us living in a society where just for one day, everything's perfect. Everyone's happy. No one is at each other's throats. You know, so, you know, you bring up a good point, but I just think that it's just easier for people to think more on the negative than on the positive. And when you said that you're in your house all the time, then for this one last day, this one perfect day, you're outside, your health is fine, everything's good. And that is what I mean. If what would happen if, you know, everyone had one last wonderful day? So meaning the people who had cancer, you don't have cancer anymore, you know, you aren't sick. Everyone is just having that perfect day.
But solid, if are we talking realistic? I wouldn't be born then. I can't be part of this conversation anymore. That's not being realistic in my situation, because then I wouldn't have the great life that I've been through if I were going to talk about that. You know, the seizures is what's made me a better person and made me strong as a person. The handicap made me a better person. If you understand what I'm trying to say, you know, people making fun of me with my seizures, handicappedness, it made me a better person. And if I didn't have it, you know, the people that made fun of me, it just would have just made me a worser person. I'd probably be in jail.
And I understand where you're coming from. What I'm saying, is it realistic? No. You know, but at the same time, that's what I said. That's why I prefaced it with what would happen if, you know, you look at John Lennon when he's singing about, you know, imagine if there were no more wars and, you know, everyone's living together. I mean, he's just saying, imagine. When you listen to What a Wonderful World, it's, you know, what a wonderful world, you know? So again, yeah, it's a fantasy. You know, and it's something that I've thought about from time to time. You know, when you turn on the TV, or, you know, you're listening to something, or you're listening to a record, or, you know, I'm saying record, I'm dating myself. You know, you're listening to a song or whatever. And, you know, people are talking about death and killing and what have you. You know, I just, in my head, sometimes I do go there. I do go to that place and just think, what would happen if everyone just got along just for one day? Would it be a perfect day? And I just took it a step further and said, what would happen if we all knew that on a particular day would be the last day for everyone? Would everyone just put aside their animosities, their troubles, you know, their hatred, whatever, and just enjoy one perfect day? Everything would be perfect. No one would hurt. No one would be, you know, no death. well, the death would be the next day. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying. You know, just what would happen if. So that's all I meant, Ziller. Mr. B wants to come up. Ziller, go ahead. You wanted to respond?
If you say imagine, I guess I already have it, because all I need is Netflix and Dr. Pepper and I'm fine.
Okay.
That is my perfect day. I don't need anything else besides that. There you go. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. That is fair. Mr. B, welcome back. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Well,
so what do you think?
Well, my day would be long. Like, I would take the kids to the my family to the beach, because they like going to the beach. Never been to a real one, so we go to, like, I call it fake beach, which is people bought, you know, a slot, and they put a lot of sand over there, so they made it like a beach kind of thing. But I would actually take them to the real beach, right? And then after that, cook something and just tell stories about stuff that we did in the past.
Is there any particular person you would reach out to outside of your family?
Oh, outside of family?
Like mother, father, sister, brother?
Oh, cousin? Well, not? Probably not.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So do you think that, and again, Ziller asks, was this realistic? You know, and I said, probably not, you know. But do you think that if we ever got to that point where the entire world, and I changed it a little bit, and I said, mm-hmm. let's say on September 1st, 2022, everyone knew for a fact that the world was going to end. And on that last day, everyone had a perfect day. Everyone who was sick was not sick anymore. If you had cancer, you don't have cancer. I mean, everything was just perfect. Do you think mm-hmm. that on that one last day, the world would be perfect just for 24 hours?
Be perfect. That's a strong word. So I'm kind of debating, like, you're saying, like, is this realistic or not?
It is a fantasy, but let's say that it was possible. Do you think that to have a perfect day? So to me, if it's perfect, and perfection means, you know, everything just is falls in the line, perfect, whatever. To me, that means that you're not going to have wars. You're not going to have people killing each other. You know, no one's going to be screaming and hollering at each other. You and your neighbor are not going to be fighting because your tree branches are falling on her side of the fence. Right. Everyone is just, you know, it's just going to be a day where everything is just perfect.
Well, yeah, but what I'm thinking of it is if I'm not quite right, then you forgive me, but I'm thinking about how, like, certain events happen, like, say, tragedy, and that brings people together. So to me, I'm feeling like that kind of pertains to what you're saying, like something terrible happening, like a lot of people get shot at the store or something, right? Then the next day people are grieving, and then asking, you know, what happens if, you know, that could have been me, and, you know, thinking about their life choices and how they're living. So I think it does happen to, you know, some people that allow themselves to think that way. So for a moment, yeah, I think so. If an event is big enough, it affects everyone. So, yeah.
See, I mean, I think anything is possible, you know, but I do believe that people are more willing to accept the negative than the positive. I think mm-hmm. if I had said, well, what would happen if everybody got up, you know, on one particular day, everyone across the world got up and everyone was just mad at something, whatever. I think that would be more acceptable to
process.
Yes. As opposed to saying everyone got up and just for one day. And you knew, and like I said, I'm just using September 1st. Welcome back, Ba. You know, that you knew that on this day that September 2nd is not coming for anyone.
But the sentence, go ahead.
But it was going to be perfect. Everyone, you knew, you were guaranteed. You were guaranteed with that last 24 hours, you're guaranteed that perfect day.
Well, all right. Then yeah, I would have called my folks up because, you know, I think it'd be nice to make some final phone calls and people who you've been arguing with or see some kind of difference. See, if you already know it's going to be a good experience, then why not?
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You know that nothing negative is everyone, no negativity in anyone's life. But again, mm-hmm. I think it's easier for us to, you know, yes, this is a fantasy, whatever. But again, if I had said, what would happen if tomorrow came and everyone had a horrible day? To me, that would be, people are more able to accept that because mm-hmm. negativity to me is more easier to accept than something positive.
True. But I think one thing that could be added to is people, when you ask them a question like this, they stop and evaluate how their life is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they reflect. And it's hard for some people, like including myself, when you say, like, everything be perfect. I'm like, shoot, my relationship with my parents ain't good at all. So I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna take my time. So when people ask, you know, ask that kind of question, it's really a deep psychology, you know, question. So it goes to the root of someone's issues, which is, could be sensitive or personal. So ask somebody to think out of the box, which is important, can be painful for others. But okay, I think it's important, though. Go ahead.
Okay, and you make a good point. So I'm going to take this another different way because you just said think outside the box. So why do you think it's hard for some people to think outside of the box, but it's not hard for others? And Ziller, I know you want to say something. So Mr. B, I'm going to jump over to Ziller. Ziller, what did you want to add?
The more I think about this, I don't think people are going to think about the good day. I think they're going to be thinking, I'm going to be dead next day.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Why? Yeah, this is going to be a great, but why are we taking this time? We're going to be dead tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, and you have a good, and you have a valid point. But what I was going to say, you know, in terms of thinking outside the box, you know, they say that it's never happened to me. I've never, you know, experienced near death or anything. But some people have said that when they are experiencing near death, you know, that their whole life plays before their eyes. They, you know, it's like they replay stuff. They wish that they had said this. They wish they had done this. They wish they weren't so mean to this person, or this person, you know, they were nicer to, or, you know, their neighbor, you know, whatever. So you don't think that in the last 24 hours, your life, you wouldn't think the same thing, that yeah, you're worried about dying, but at the same time you have this opportunity again just to have a great day.
Well, yes. And yeah, I was about to say be great also, and also Final Fantasy movies as well. But you know, Solid Blue, I'm such a realist on these things. You know, too many people these days are not what we, you know, I'm thinking more about the other back in the old time where, yes, I want to have a good time, but that next day, if my hand was not disabled and all that kind of stuff, I know tomorrow, the next, after 24 hours, this thing's this ain't, it's going back to the same thing. So I'm like,
But Ziller, but I also said that that after 24 hours, you would be dead. We would all be dead. Okay. And Ziller's gone. All right. Mr. B, do you understand what I'm saying? Mr. B? Okay, I'm up here by myself now. All right, so, okay, here comes Mr. B is back. Let's see.
Just remember, when I'm looking at different apps, sometimes when I come back, for some reason, they won't let me.
You know, Podbean has been crazy the last couple months, so I don't know.
But yeah, I was listening, and yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. It's thinking out of the box is scary. I think is because they can see what life could be, and how life they want life to be, but afraid to take this step because they're so comfortable. I'm talking about myself too, so comfortable of staying where they are. Change. You have to be courageous to take a step forward, to step in the dark. Somebody who's in negativity, I'm not saying about others in negativity, but I'm saying, for example, if somebody is used to being around negativity, negative thoughts, that doesn't mean they enjoy it. Doesn't mean they, you know, like, yay, all that stuff. But it could mean like they're just used to it. It's comfortable. So to able to think out of the box, you have to take courage to do it. It's easy to stay where you are. So like I say, I'm not trying to make it like a deep issue and everything, but that question is really, really deep for some others. And I'm thinking about it, it's deep. So another way of looking at it is, what would you do in life without restrictions? Could we rephrase it like that? Would that be the same question, you think? Or was that a totally different question?
No, I think that you did answer it. I think that, you know, some people are able to think outside the box. Other people aren't. Some people, you know, feel more comfortable, you know, in a certain spot. You know, for me, this is just me. I'm one of those people who I question a lot of things. And one of the things that I say, I had to explain, you know, to someone when I say it, when I say like, what would happen if, you know, it's something that I'm constantly, you know, I say it all the time. You know, if, you know, my son, you know, does something and I'm like, seriously, you know, it's like, now what would happen if, you know, what would happen if you put this here and then, you know, a fire started or whatever. I do say what would happen if, and it's not to poke at anyone or to try to start. I'm literally wondering in my head, what would happen if, I mean, I'm outside, you know, the other day, you know, trying to get my garden a certain way. And I'm and in my mind, I'm like looking around. I'm like, well, what would happen if, and I'm saying, if I move this over here, what would happen if, you know, but for other things, when I say what would happen if, I am thinking outside the box. Sometimes my head does go to fantasy land, because I think that you should be able to think outside the box in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's,
because sometimes that's where you find the answer sometimes,
right,
the solution.
Right. You know, so, and I understand, like I said, I know that some people feel safe, you know, they have their safe space, but for other people, you know, like me, my safe space is way over there, you know, and, you know, I don't know, but again, for this question, I was, how this question came up literally is the fact that I was literally thinking about the war, and I was like, just saying to myself, when is this stuff just going to stop? What would happen if we just all just woke up one day and it was beautiful? We just had a beautiful yes. day, but tomorrow was not going to come.
You didn't sign your mileage check.
Oh, thank you.
So that is where that came from. So, Crucible, I think I missed you. Hold on. There you go. Okay, so Crucible, have you been following? I know you weren't on at the beginning.
A little bit, but are you still talking about, you know, tomorrow's not going to happen and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, this conversation, and I knew that this conversation could take a lot of different ways. You know, Mr. B brought up thinking outside the box, and that's when we started to talk about that. But again, you know, what would happen if tomorrow came, but everyone had a wonderful day? Everyone had a perfect day. You knew that that day was going to be perfect. You know, and my question is, would the world be perfect for at least one day? For one day, could we put aside any negativity in whatever, be it towards other people, be it towards another country, be it towards our pets, you know, whatever, be it towards the fact that you've been trying to fix something on your house and you just can't get it done. But that particular day, everything falls into place and you're able to fix the toilet that was leaking, you know, whatever. Everything was just perfect. Would everyone, you know, would the world be perfect for at least one day?
Well, I mean, if somebody could wave a magic wand or somehow orchestrate it from the heavens or something, yeah. But my quick answer to that would be no. And the reason for that is, regardless of what the situation is, in other words, tomorrow is not going to happen, so today is going to be a perfect day and everything's going to go perfectly. We're still, unless I'm getting too technical and too empirical here, we're still the same flawed people we were the day before today.
You are getting too technical. You guys, okay.
I don't think it's possible. No, I don't think it's possible. Okay. Well, what circumstances would have to come about to make that happen?
I'm okay, guys. All I'm saying is, maybe it's just the way I think. I'm just saying that instead of, you know, getting technical, whatever, I'm just saying that you were, just imagine, can we just use our imagination for once? Can we just imagine that for one day, everything was just going to be perfect? It was our last day on earth, but everything was going to be perfect. And if you knew everything was going to be perfect, then that means that whatever other negativity that you had was not going to be there. Anyone who had cancer was not going to have cancer. You know, people were just going to just be fine. Welcome, Brina, and welcome back, Ziller. You know, I'm just saying. Do you think it's possible that if everyone had a wonderful day, if everyone had a wonderful day just for one day, would the world be perfect for at least one day? Crucible. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off before. I just wanted to for you guys understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think I do. And when you frame it that way, well, then the answer, I guess, would be yes. I'm wondering if everything was set in motion for everybody to have a perfect day, then everybody would have a perfect day. And if there's no tomorrow, you know, there's really no kind of reference point going forward to say, well, what did we do different on that perfect day that we could do going forward? Because there is no going forward because there's no tomorrow. So in a vacuum, under those controlled circumstances, yeah, everybody would have a perfect day. In relation to the days that came before, certainly you could compare them, but you wouldn't necessarily have a jumping off point for going forward because there wasn't any going forward. Because the world would be ending, I'm assuming, right? So you have that perfect day that, I guess, in a perfect world, you could take something away from and maybe have perfect days in the future. But with that caveat in there that there is no tomorrow, then the only thing you can compare that perfect day to was all the imperfect days that came before it. because there isn't anything to take into the future with it, because there is no future, if I'm understanding the question correctly.
No, you are. You are. So if you have that person, so okay, let me change it this way. You have that person who has cancer, and or whatever some illness, and the doctor says, you know, you have less than a month. Don't you think that same person who has less than a month, just like the people who only have one day, they're going to try to make the best out of that month, that they're going to try to make it, I don't want to say as perfect as possible, but that's the only word that I can come up with, that they're going to try to make it as perfect as possible. They are going to try to live their best life while they still have that life, because they know that they're on borrowed time. Crucible. And I do believe Crucible got
accidentally muted. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, under those circumstances, yeah, I think, you know, I've read lots of different articles, everybody has, about people who have been told, you know, they had a terminal illness and they have X amount of time to live. And from what I understand, I've never been in the situation, obviously, but yeah, it changes your priorities, it changes everything. And you start to look at the world differently, I'm guessing. Anytime you know you're on borrowed time, you're going to do things differently. You're going to make different decisions than you would have under other circumstances. So I think if you have 30 days or 6 months or whatever the amount of time is, you're going to live your life differently. And I often wonder what it would be like if we all were tricked into thinking we had a finite amount of time. And would we do things differently? I think anybody who wouldn't do things differently has probably got something wrong with them, because we all have regrets in our lives. We all have things we wish we had done differently. And if we know we've got a finite amount of time left, we're gonna live differently. We're gonna take more risks probably. We're gonna live more freely. We're gonna express ourselves in ways we maybe didn't before. It's got to be a very liberating experience, considering what's coming at the end.
Okay, Ziller, I am coming to you, but I have to ask Kukuspa one last thing. Okay, so what you just said in terms of having a finite amount of time, you wonder what would happen, you know, if we have a finite amount of time. And that's all I'm saying. What would happen if tomorrow never came, but everyone had that one last wonderful day?
I think it would be a serious day of atonement for a lot of people, a lot of apologies, a lot of fence mending or bridge building, even though they won't be gaining anything from it in the future because there won't be a future. I think a lot of people would use that last day to try to make amends with people that they've fallen out with, or tell somebody they love them that they haven't told in a long time, or you know, anything that brings closure, I think, to a person's life or lets them put a bow on their life and atone for things that they regret. That would be how I would spend that day. And, you know, I think between that and telling the people that you love them one last time, I think that would be a gratifying way for most people to go out.
Okay. All right. Ziller, welcome back. Ziller, you have the mic.
I don't know what to say with this one. I was listening to Crystal, and I think he got my point across. But yeah, go ahead. I'll keep listening.
Okay. Mr. B, you wanna add anything?
Oh no, not yet. I'm just listening still.
All right. Okay, so Crucible, back to you. So this is the question that I asked before. I don't know if you were on or not. If you only had limited time, you were on borrowed time. And no, you know what? No, I'm going to change that. You're on a plane, and your plane is going down. You know that you're going to crash. You know that that's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to die, but you know that this plane is going to crash. Do you start thinking about the same things like what you just said about making atonements and what have you? Do you start thinking about all the people who you need to talk to? Does your life flash before your eyes? I mean, do you think knowing that you had a finite amount of time, and this time is really, really short. Like, again, you don't know if you're going to survive this plane crash or if you won't. Do you still think, do your thoughts go more towards the positive or the negative?
Well, my personality would be inclined toward the negative, and certainly under those circumstances, it would be hard to find the positives. A lot of plane crashes result in no survivors. But you know, that last time, if I was the plane was going down and you didn't have a month or 6 months, you had 15 minutes, you won't have time, obviously, to reach out to people in your life. So obviously, the obvious place to turn would be to God, if you believe in God, because he's really the only person that you are accountable to anyway. In the end, he's the only person who can possibly, quote unquote, save you from that situation. He's the one who has your fate in your hands, so in his hands, so to speak. So that would be my conversation. I would do the same atonement exercise that I would have done with my friends and family, just to God, and you know, ask his forgiveness and see if he can see it clear to, you know, let me have some more time on Earth. And if not, I understand the decision. He must have a reason for this plane going down, and try to be as much at peace with something that is very much not a peaceful situation. But yeah, there's only one thing, unless you want to talk to your seatmate, there's really only one place to turn. And if you're not a believer in God, then I don't know where you turn. You just sit and hope, I guess, since you don't pray. But yeah, I don't know what the alternative would be if you've got 15 or 20 minutes left.
Okay. And the reason why I ask is because, you know, you hear about people who make, you know, those one last calls to their wife or their husband or, you know, a family member, whatever, saying that, you know, they're on plane flight such and such and such, and they just wanted to say, I love you, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, the way my mind thinks, I'm always in the what would happen, you know, because I think there's so much out there for us to learn. I think there's so much out there that we don't know. I am someone who thinks that anything is possible. I try to turn to the positive more than the negative, because the negative would just drive you crazy. You know, but you know, again, you know, you go back to John Lennon and Louis Armstrong for, you know, What a Wonderful World. And it's like, is it possible to have that wonderful world? Is it possible to have a world where, you know, we are not at war and we're not fighting with each other? You know, like I said, your neighbor isn't purposely, you know, parking in your driveway just to piss you off. You know, I mean, you know, can we just for one day come together? And it, you know, and what would it be if that one day was everyone's last day? Not just this person or this person because they're sick or whatever, but everyone. It was everyone's last day. Ziller, you wanted to say something?
I gotta say, unless God is in all of our hearts, that's the only way it's gonna happen.
Okay, and again, I said, what would happen if? And this is my own fantasy. This is my own fantasy in my head. So, okay, all right. Crucible, you were gonna say something?
Yeah, I think, you know, that the when you inject that caveat in there that there's not going to be a future, most people, when they're taking stock of their lives, at least what I do, is you try to evaluate what you did in the past and whether it worked or not. And most people want to resolve to fix the things that they're not happy about in their lives, and they wish they could have changed, but they didn't. But if you're having a last day, all you can do is look back. You can't make plans for the future. You can't say, well, I'm going to make these changes. If I get more time on the earth, or if I'm going to be here longer, I can make these changes, positive changes, going forward. That's what most people try to do when they're taking stock at some point in their lives. But if they know there's not going to be a tomorrow, it's kind of, it lacks incentive for people to do anything but atone or ask forgiveness for things they did in the past, because there's not anything they can change going forward, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. So, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. Most people, the majority of people, I would assume, I don't know the numbers, I don't know the stats. Most people don't know when they're going to die. But you have that small group of people, like I said, who are sick or whatever and been told, you know, you're only going to have this much time. Sometimes, you know, doctors are wrong and people outlive, you know, people by 10 years or whatever. But most people know that most people don't know when their time on earth is done. Most of us don't know when we're going to get called home. Okay. But for the people that do, for the people who do know, even for that little child who knows, that two-year-old who knows that, you know, they're not going to see, you know, mommy and daddy next Christmas or something. They know, even if their parents didn't tell them, they still know. Do you think they have an advantage? Do they think they have an advantage over the rest of us who don't know when we're going to die, but the people who were told that they have a limited amount of time, do they have an advantage over the rest of us because they can use that time if they choose to finish whatever they didn't finish, say whatever they wanted to say, go places that they were saying, well, I'm going to go here. Okay, next year I'm going to go. Well, next year we're really going to go. But this time they go because they know next year is not coming. Crucible?
Yeah, they do, except for that whole dying soon thing. They do have an advantage because they're able to do things differently based on information the rest of us don't have. Although I've read of some interviews with people who, you know, they take that news and they say, there's nothing I can do. They take a very defeatist, kind of fatalistic attitude towards it. You know, what's the point? Why kid myself? You know, I've got 6 months to 3 months, whatever it is. I'm just going to do the same things I've always done. I'm just going to, you know, be with my family. I'm not going to go to the Grand Canyon. I'm not going to try to, jump out of an airplane with a parachute. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm just going to do whatever I've been doing. But anytime you have information that other people don't have that allows you to plan or allows you to make decisions differently, you're going to have an advantage over everybody. Now, I personally would not want to know when I'm going to die. I don't think that would be as much help as it would be to help me get my affairs in order and make it right with people who I may have fallen out with. I don't want to know that information. I don't know how it would be practical for me beyond being able to say some things to some people that I might not ordinarily get a chance to do. But I saw this interview, it was a couple days ago, and my memory is foggy these days. I can't remember who it was, but it was with a theologian of some kind or whatever, and he was talking about what he thinks happens at the time of death. And kind of similar to what you're asking here, Solid, is if you know you have a finite amount of time, do you have an advantage? And what he was saying, what he thinks God does, is when we're at our very last, we're about to leave this earth, that he does a review. And I know this sounds kind of hokey, but not a review in the sense where you got a PowerPoint presentation, but he does a review of your life. And he shows you not only what you accomplished, what you became, but what you could have become. And that always struck me as an odd thing, if it's true. And this is just a theory of a clergy person or a theologian who has studied these things, and it's just his opinion, nobody knows. But, you know, if you're in a position where you're about to pass into the next life. It seems like an odd conversation that God would have with you to remind you of your shortcomings. Yeah, you did this, this, and this, but you could have did this, this, and this. So is that his way of dishing out some punitive feedback before he lets you into heaven? I don't know, but I thought that was a curious last act between God and a human being to point out to you what your life could have been had you done some things differently. So I know that's a little bit off topic, but I was trying to tie it back to does knowing ahead of time give you an advantage? I think it does. But it's another one of those very vexing end of life things that nobody knows because nobody's ever come back to tell the story.
Okay. I do have a question, but I'm going to go to Frankie. Frankie, I want to read what she said. Frankie says, my life would be full. You know, Frankie, my life would be full too. If I knew that I was going to die, if I, you know, the doctor or whatever, and I knew that I was living on borrowed time, my bucket list, I'd be checking off so many things on that bucket list, and I would be just living my life as much as I possibly could. So, Ziller?
Oh, I was going to tell you, I got 20 years of my life left. I can already tell you, I know. The doctors and specialists already told you, I got 20 years left to live. I can already tell you that. They've already did study tests and all that, but there you go.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Okay. So you already know, you know, so you already have pretty much planned what you would like to do?
Oh, hell yeah. And I'm sorry about that. But yeah. Bust open Dr. Pepper, sit on the couch and relax and watch Netflix.
Okay.
And be with my kids and wife.
Okay. All right. So, Crucible, you're saying that you would not want to know when you were going to die. And before you answer, I want to read what Brina said. Brina said, I do think situations like that humble you to a point of humility where you don't have so many limitations. I agree. So, Crucible, are you saying that you would not want to know when you were going to die?
No, I think for me, at least, the advantage of knowing when you're going to die and being able to, like you said, work the bucket list and do things that you wouldn't have been able to do had you not been given that information, I think the advantages would be offset by the stress and the sadness of knowing that I have a finite amount of time. Every time I would see one of my loved ones or my siblings or my friends or something, I would be reminded that, you know, that I'm not going to see them very often, maybe not again. You know, the fact that I might be able to go to the Grand Canyon, jump out of an airplane, you do all kinds of things I never got to do before. They would be a little bit empty knowing that I'm checking a box. I'm not necessarily doing this out of an abundance of affection for this particular activity. I'm doing it because I'm not only I have to, but because it's on my list of things I have to do before I leave this earth. I would be more sad than anything. So I don't know what the advantage would be long term, besides being able to plan some things. For me personally, I would be reminded constantly each time I went to, you know, go to the Grand Canyon or go deep sea fishing or anything I haven't had a chance to do, I would be reminded of why I'm doing it. If you're doing it free and clear of any understanding of a finite window, you're doing it because out of sheer enjoyment. When you're doing it and it's on your bucket list and your bucket list is short because your time is short, to me, it would rob the activity of the joy it ordinarily would bring because there would be a pall cast over it given the intentions behind my doing those things. So I think it's an interesting concept, but I think in an abstract sense, a lot of people would say, well, yes, I want to know because I can do this, 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 and this. But from a practical standpoint, once you do know and you're faced with that very bleak outcome for the rest of your time on Earth, I don't know if any of us would know how we would process that on a day in and day out basis. I think eventually sadness would creep in and the enthusiasm you may have had for your bucket list would be replaced by profound sadness knowing that your time is ending.
You know, I have to say, I think it's sad that you would approach it like that, because I don't think a lot of people would do that. I think when people know, that you have a short time on Earth, yes, you do have those people who withdraw into themselves, and you know they do the doom and gloom. But you also have a lot of people who are like, hey, I am going to live my life. I'm going to, you know, every day I'm going to see joy. I'm going to try to. I'm not going to, you know, if it were me and I knew, you know, how my life was going to end, you know, in less than a year, whatever, I'm going to do everything I can to live my life to the fullest and see the people that mean the most to me and be around them as much as I possibly can. So when my eyes close for that final time, hopefully I can close my eyes with a smile as opposed to doom, gloom, and whatever. And I think that, you know, going to the Grand Canyon or, you know, taking that trip or whatever, jumping out of that plane, it's going to be even more thrilling for you because you know that, you know, that you're doing it because you don't have that time. You have to do it now. So you're going to appreciate it more. And when we appreciate things more, it tends to have more value.
Well, that's the abstract part that I was talking about. People initially, they would all feel that way. They're all filled with enthusiasm, even though there's a very bleak prognostication that's just been handed down. The initial reaction is an abstract reaction. You don't know the practical side of that yet because you haven't done those things yet. You don't know how you're going to feel. You only know the abstract feeling of, I want to do these things because they're going to make me feel good. Then it's possible, not likely, I'm just saying it's possible that in the pursuit of those activities, you're not as positive about them as you were initially in the abstract. You're now starting to, it's sinking in a little bit. Now you're going to the airport to jump out of the airplane. And now that context has been applied and the abstract's been removed, people may feel differently now that they're actually physically carrying out these activities. Now it's real. When it was just, you're going to die in 3 months, you know, it was still somewhat of an abstract concept. You hadn't had time to work through the details yet. Once you get to the context part, which is the day in and day out nature, okay, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? I don't know why you wouldn't think it's possible, if not likely, that a degree of sadness would not sit in at some point as the reality sinks in and the abstract fades and the context stays.
I'm not saying that sadness would not seep in. Absolutely, the sadness would be there. But if you, and I've read some articles on this, that there are people, you know, a lot of people, in fact, who, when they know they are going to die, yes, they go through that the denial and the sadness. But when they come to terms with it and they realize that their life is going to be cut shorter than what they would have wanted, they go out and they live their life to the fullest. They don't sit at home going, oh, come my life, I'm going to die tomorrow. Oh, I don't want to go over Aunt So-and-so's house. Oh, you all go ahead. No, they go out there and I'm not saying everyone, but you have a lot of people who go out there and they try to just appreciate it and live their life to the fullest. Yes, they are going to go through that period of sadness, whatever, and the sadness probably will never leave. But a lot of those people go out there and, you know, they make the best of each day that they have. So,
good job, because you know that's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, all right, you know, and again, everyone can only do, and you know what they feel is best for them, you know. But again, you know, I say that people are going to be sad. I mean, I think that's a given. But at the same time, I think that they can find joy, and a lot of people do, and say, you know what? Like I said, I kept putting this off. I'm going to do it now, and they're going to have more fun, and they're going to appreciate life. They're going to appreciate their life even more, where the rest of us kind of still are kind of sort of taking our lives for granted.
No, that's a good point. The taking for granted part is where I think I would tend to agree with what you're saying. And you're right, sadness is always going to creep in eventually. And everybody's different. I mean, and I'm sure there are, you know, just knowing the nature of what we're talking about here, there's days where, and I've read interviews with people who are in their final days, and there's, whether it's a physical thing or just a psychological thing or both, they swing back and forth between these moods of joyousness and just abject sadness. And the next day they feel like they can do anything and they want to. The day after that, they don't even want to get out of bed. So I think it's probably a day-by-day proposition. Sadness is always going to be part of the end of people's days. It's inevitable. To the extent that it overlaps everything else, I guess it's based on the individual, but I'm guessing that people in that situation experience every range of emotion you can possibly feel and then some during the time. And it could be an hour-to-hour proposition, not just day-to-day or week-to-week. It could be that the swings could be that quick. So, yeah, I think everybody's different, but I would handle that information in a way that I don't think would be helpful to me. You sound like you would handle it in a way that would be much more productive. So I'm not happy that would be my response, and maybe I would surprise myself, but knowing what I think I know about myself, I think that's probably where I would come down on it.
Okay. And, you know, everyone is different. We all process information differently. You know, we all see things differently. And when it comes, you know, that prospect of death, of knowing when you're going to die, I mean, I think that would be daunting for anyone, you know. But the fact is one day we are all going to die. I mean, I'm at an age now, and yes, this is again how my mind works, where I'm like, how many more years do I actually have? You know, I'm not that 16-year-old who says, you know, I have, you know, the next, you know, 80 years, whatever. I'm not at that point anymore. I am literally looking at how many years do I possibly have? What is the average lifespan? You know, whatever. That's just how I think, you know. And when I do think about it, again, I'm like, I'm going out there and I'm going to do every damn thing that I possibly can. I'm going to see things. I'm going to do things. I'm going to, you know, just put my toe in every, you know, lake or whatever, you know, whatever. I'm going to try to do every damn thing that I possibly can. And one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to sit at home. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I am going to get out there and enjoy life, because this world, there's just too much out there that I don't know, that I haven't seen, that I will never see, you know, and I just want to experience all of it.
Well, actually, this is going to come as a shock to you, Solid, but you're actually bringing me around to your way of thinking a little bit there. I hadn't quite thought it through to that extent. I can certainly see advantages to knowing something, because you're right, we all are going to die. And maybe knowing, you know, would get you ahead of the game temporarily a little bit. Because I don't know, except for the lack of stress of having a, you know, a death sentence, if that's the right term, hanging over your head, knowing I'm going to die on June, you know, 15th, 2035 or whatever the year is, you know, having that hanging over your head, there's an absolute downside to that, but there has to be an upside to it. And the fact that you're going to die at a date that has not been identified yet, you don't know what the circumstances are going to be. You don't know how you're going to feel. A lot of things are going to be out of your control. And I think that's the part I'm coming around to here is when you're aware of the day you're going to pass away, you do have a measure of control, at least for a short period of time. When you don't know that you're going to die, when you're going to die, you don't have any control because you don't know anything. But when you know that the date is out there and you know when that date is, well, now you have a little bit of control. Like you said, you can work your bucket list, you can talk to people, you can prepare mentally, you can talk to God. Whatever you want to do to get ready, you have some control, and that can bring some peace to people because they can have a little bit of say in how things are going to go toward the end. Whereas if you don't know, you're at the mercy of everything. And that's got to be pretty stressful too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it is. And again, I knew this topic was going to take all kinds of twists and turns, whatever. But, you know, probably about 15 years ago, my husband and I, we did our living trust, you know, mainly because we have a child. And for everyone who has not done one, especially if you have children, no matter how young you are, I suggest that you do it. I went for my physical last week, and now I am working on my medical directive, you know, what I want to happen or what I don't want to happen when I pass, because having now dealt with two parents who are gone and the way they set things up for my sister and I, you know, the only thing that we're doing now that we find is difficult, not difficult in terms of mental, but physically, is cleaning out 63 years worth of house. That's a lot of work. But in terms of how, you know, my parents left things for us, they pretty much left things where we didn't have to do anything. We knew what they wanted. They set up everything for us, and everything's fine. Yeah, you have to go through the legal stuff, but everything's fine. So now I see myself as, when I look back at the trust that we have, we change it every so often. And now with my medical directive, it's like, I don't want my son to have to worry about, well, should I pull the plug or should I not? Would mom want this? Or I'm telling him, pull the damn plug. I don't want my son to have to worry about going to the hospital for the next, you know, 10 months, looking at me on a respirator that I'll never get off of. You know, if I'm at that point, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of stress. Pull the damn plug. You know?
I didn't know this at the time, but my mother passed away 2005, very, very suddenly. And at the time, none of us knew it, but my youngest sister, she knew it, but she didn't tell anybody. And I think it's because my mother must have told her not to tell anybody. I don't remember that. But she had my sister sign a DNR, which is do not resuscitate. When I found out about it, I was hurt initially. That was my selfish reaction, because why wouldn't my mother want to stay around? You know, she's got all her kids that love her. You know, why wouldn't she want to be here with us, kind of a thing? Why wouldn't she want to live? You know, and then I got to thinking about it, and it's exactly what you just said. Why put that burden, why put that decision, that stress on your children? Leave specific instructions behind. It might be difficult for them to understand, like it was for me, but once they have a chance to process it, they'll appreciate the gesture of kindness and love that it is trying to, in your final act on earth, trying to be the mother to your children, trying to remove whatever burdens or obstacles you know they're going to face, that you're not going to be there to help them through. That's a heroic act in my world, and I just didn't see it like that initially. But it's an act of kindness that you are thinking that far ahead and wanting to spare your children such an agonizing decision.
And, you know, it's not just, I want to read what Brina says. Brina says, although kind of depressing, the best thing a parent or loved one can do is make those hard decisions before passing. And, you know, Brina, you know, that's what it is. It takes off a huge burden. And, you know, when you get to the point, and, you know, and some people question, you know, some of the things that we did or we didn't do, especially for my mom. There were questions of one certain particular thing that we did not do. And it was nobody's damn business, you know. But again, you know, life is short. You don't know if you're going to walk out the house tomorrow. I don't care if you live until you're 90. You know, those 90 years go by fast. And I have learned that time does go by fast. So you can either live your life, you know, in a vacuum, or you can live your life truly enjoying life. And yeah, we stop and we want to change things. And, you know, we want people to see a certain thing or see things our way or whatever. But for the most part, at least for me, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do whatever I possibly can. And along the way, I'm making sure that my son is taken care of. He knows what I want, you know, in terms of what my husband wants, whatever, because I don't want him to have to. That's one part of life I don't want him to have to stress over. Yes, he'll be upset. Yes, he will be sad. But I don't want him to stress over stuff like that. And in the meantime, you know, whether you know you're going to die or you think you're going to live to be 500, I'm going to try, like I said, go out there and live my life the best that I possibly can. Because that 500 years will go by really fast. Whew. So, good night, Ba. Good night. Nighty night. Oh, and friendly differences. Ba is back, so we will be back on Saturday. And Kimberly, Michael Key, Jester, maybe Shy Lady will be on, and we will be talking about white fragility on Saturday, 12 noon on YouTube, 12 noon Pacific time. Okay, so okay, I'm just looking at these comments here. So, anybody else want to comment, or I can start wrapping it up? Crucible, you have anything else you want to add?
No, I know we kind of jumped around a little bit, but I think it was a good thing. I think anytime, you know, when you think about the future or no future, you know, it forces you to reorder yourself. Not, you don't have to, but it kind of forces you to reorder your priorities, to think differently. And end of life things are always fascinating to me because, like I said earlier, nobody knows for sure because nobody's ever come back to tell the story. But I think it's fascinating.
Well, some people have died, yeah, and have come
true.
Back.
That's true. And I believe the stories. They see the light and there's something goes on. I'm inclined to believe those things. I don't think they're making them up. Could it be a medical thing? Could it be something else besides God and light? Of course it could be. But I'm inclined to think that whatever they think they're experiencing and they come back to life, they saw something, they saw a light. I'm not going to tell them they didn't. I believe them. But I think it's fascinating when we contemplate these life-rending kinds of decisions, and we think we know how we would react, and we know ourselves better than anybody else does. But will we really react that way when the reality sinks in? And I think it's an interesting dilemma because it's a fight between here is how I would like to think I'd react, but there's always the possibility that something else would happen, and if it does, how will I react to the fact that my reaction is different than what I was anticipating? So anyway, really good topic, Sal. It gives us lots of things to think about, and good show.
Well, thank you. And one thing that I truly say to everyone is, you know, when I picked up the medical director, when my doctor gave it to me, you know, last week, and I'm really had a chance to sit down and read it. There's a lot of questions in there for you to answer, things that I had never thought of, you know, things that you see on Chicago Med and, you know, shows like that, but it goes a lot deeper. And again, no matter how old you guys are, I suggest you get a medical directive, because there are questions in there that they ask where it's like, wow, do you want this to happen? In terms of a DNR, at what point do you want that DNR? I mean, if you know, you have a heart attack and your heart stops, do you not want them to do anything? Or do you want them to try to jumpstart you? That's the only way I can say it, you know, jumpstart you. Because it's just a heart attack. And I know I'm just saying just a heart attack. I don't mean to be rude to anyone who has had a heart attack or anything. As opposed to if you were under a life-threatening illness that you've been suffering with for so long and your heart stopped, do you want to be resuscitated? So, you know, just a whole lot of just different questions in terms of who and, you know, what this person can do and how far they can go. And if there's another person that you want, you know, you and this person and this other person, it's just a lot of questions that for me personally, I had never thought of. So, you know, and it also gives you, you know, as I'm reading it, it also gives you a way to have dignity, for you to have what you want, not what your kids want or what your husband or your wife wants or what your parents want, because it's not about them. It's about you. It is about your quality of life. And for some people, it's like, their family members will say, but I'll take care of you. If you're in this wheelchair, I'll bathe you and I'll change your diaper, whatever. But I personally don't want you changing my diaper. I don't want my quality of life to be where I'm in a diaper, you know? So again, it is about them. So I would seriously, you know, say that get a medical directive. You don't have to. It's just a suggestion.
No, you make a good point about the dignity part, because that's what I worry about at the end of my life. You know, you don't have control over very much, and it's going to be too late at that point to put those things in place. It was kind of like that ship has sailed. So the dignity part is critical, because you don't get much toward the end, just the way it is. But to be able to have certain things that you control, it could make a huge difference in your quality of life. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but yeah, that's kind of a big one.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And Brina says, I just turned 40 and I'm putting a lot of thought into this now. All of my documents will be put in place this year, right? So much to think about, you know, and it is. And Brina, I owe you another, I am so sorry. Last week, once again, we were talking about the shows last week. We just got deep, you know, whatever. I don't know if it was last week or the week or the week before, but the shows have just been deep and a lot of chit chat going on, whatever. And again, I miss one of your gifts. So again, thank you, Brina. I don't mean to disrespect or miss anyone when you guys send me gifts. So thank you. And Frankie, thank you very much for the gift. No, Brina, it isn't fine, because at least for me, I know that you guys, you know, you don't have to spend the money to do it, but you do it and you are supporting me. And again, I appreciate it. So I just want to say, and I was waiting for you to come back on, and thank you. So, but yeah, guys, you know, this is, you know, again, I say a beautiful morning with no tomorrow, because today could be my beautiful morning. I was thinking about it when I woke up this morning. I was thinking about the show And I was literally thinking, you know, beautiful morning, am I going to have a tomorrow? And that's, you know, for a lot of us, are we, is this our last beautiful morning? I mean, we just don't know. Some of us do, but the majority of us don't. So it just all depends on how you're going to spend it. So, and on that note, let's see. Linda, welcome. We are about to end it, but thank you for showing up. All right, guys. On that note, I will see you tomorrow. Jester is Jester and Preppin' Money. They are doing the show tomorrow. They are going to talk about food shortages. And guys, I'm going to tell you, on Jester's show, I have learned so much about prep, whatever. And if you guys look at my TikTok, I actually put something up today on my ham radio and my antenna. I'm showing everybody the antenna on my roof and things like that. Not that you guys care or anything, but tomorrow is going to be a prepper show, and Jester is going to be the guest host with Preppin' Money, who is going to talk about your finances and how you need to prep with your finances. So hopefully you guys will come tomorrow and show him some love. And Crispo, yes, you love Jester, but he and Ba have this bromance going. So I think he may be third wheel. Sorry. Tomorrow, what time? It is going to be on my show. So 1 o'clock Pacific time. So it will be on my show. And on that note, guys, this time for real, I hope to see you tomorrow. And as I always say, go where the wind takes you. Bye. Yeah, sorry, Crucifo. Iced out again. And Jester did say he had the thing for redheads. And you do not have red hair. So sorry. Your hair is not red. But everyone who wants to know, Crucible does have a full head of hair. I had to add that. Oh boy, Bar Girl, thank you for coming. Oh, and Frankie, I got your email. You do not have to send me anything. Yes, I do like my baseball caps, but you do not have to send me anything. So on that note, everyone, enjoy the rest of your day or evening, wherever you are in the world. Bye.